Beloved, in this gospel reading today, the parable Jesus tells us about the landowner and the tenants, it shows us again the different levels of Scripture. Because there is a literal meaning to certain things of Scripture. But then there's deeper meaning that we ourselves have to dig through in our spiritual life. As Gregory of Nyssa said elsewhere, if we don't take the time to go through Scripture, it's like wheat that grows in the field. You can't just go pluck off the buds of wheat and eat it. It's not fit for human consumption, but for animals. But for us to eat the wheat, we have to grind it down and turn it into something. Turn it into flour and to make it into bread. Or boil those buds to make it into koliva, something we can easily eat. And he said, so it is with Scripture. If we neglect the spiritual understanding of the Scripture and look only at the surface. For Jesus today was telling this parable to show to the Pharisees and the scribes, all those religious leaders to whom the people looked up to, but who denied him, who denied that he was the Messiah, who thought he had a demon or was a drunkard or a sinner because he ate with prostitutes and tax collectors and drunkards and robbers and thieves. Jesus uses this surface level of the parable, explaining to them how God is the landowner who set up the people of Israel and did all the work, set up a tower, a hedge, planted the vines, and then gave it to tenants. And here Jesus is saying, these religious leaders who were rejecting him, and the first God sent were the prophets, many of whom indeed were stoned and put to death because people did not want to listen to their message from God. And finally, the landowner, God, sends his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, our Lord is saying he will be cast out of the vineyard, out of the walls of Jerusalem, where he will be crucified and put to death. And he says that he is the cornerstone, the keystone of the entire structure of the temple upon which everything is built. This is the level of the parable Jesus is telling to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees and the scribes, those who were rejecting him. But we can look even deeper at spiritual meaning, beyond this literal interpretation. For if we look at the very beginning, it says the landowner did everything. He planted the vines. He set up the tower. He put a hedge around it to protect it. God created everything. There is nothing that is not his, because he fashioned it all. And he even fashioned the tenants. He made them. We read in Genesis, God fashioned us in his image and according to his likeness. So not only has God done everything as creator, all of the material and invisible creation, but finally he made us. He fashioned us in his image and according to his likeness. And as he fashioned everything at the beginning, that vineyard and all of it, so he accomplishes everything for our salvation. He sends his Son, and his Son is crucified for us, because such is God's love for us. As we hear in one of the prayers of the Anaphora, the prayer of the Eucharist, as we're saying over the gifts that the priest says, it says, you refrained not from doing anything for our salvation. In modern speech, we would say also that there's nothing he wouldn't do. There's nothing he didn't do. And there's nothing he wouldn't have done in order to save us. He accomplishes it all. Creation, salvation, saving us from sin and from death, dying for us so that he could rise from the dead and raise us with himself, raise us from our sins, which, beloved, we admit we will continue in day by day. We surely will sin when we leave the doors of this church. But he's always here, waiting for us to come to him. And he opens his doors of mercy to us. He flings wide the gates of the temple for us who are in sorrow, who are suffering, who are struggling. Because he, beloved, is in us. If he fashioned us in his image, then indeed he is in us. He abides in us. And we come to him, especially at the Holy Liturgy, where all is accomplished for us. Every little bit of it is accomplished by God for us sinners. To stare at the abyss of God's love should cause us to weep, because we know who we are. I know who I am, a sinner, the sinner. And come before God and his throne. And he's not judging. He is throwing out his love, calling us into himself, beckoning us to come to him so that we can be filled with him. And in being filled with him, we will live less according to the passions in our hearts. And we will live more according to his life which is in us by his grace, by his Son whom he has sent to redeem us. To him be glory, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, to the ages of ages.